If you have your Bibles tonight, find, if you would, Genesis chapter number 5, Hebrews chapter number 11. Genesis chapter 5, Hebrews chapter number 11 will be our text this evening. Thank you for your faithful attendance all day. Thank you for being easy to preach to. Thank you for the agreement that we have in the Lord. I really appreciate that. Praise the Lord for the dear lady that was saved today. And we thank God whenever somebody comes to faith in Christ. Thank you for your faithful witness throughout the week and throughout times. And I know many of you are working on people to get them in the service, to get them under the preaching of the gospel. And that is just a tremendous blessing to your pastor. And I love you for that. I want to just kind of be tender tonight. Want to be challenging to you after a message this morning. I wanted to come back tonight and just kind of encourage us and inspire us and lift us in the presence of our Savior. And I've been thinking a lot and running into the thought lately of walking with God. Walking with God. I found myself teaching some people and speaking to people about the importance of learning how to walk with the Lord and kind of how to orchestrate that, learning how to walk in the Spirit of God. The Bible talks about the authority and power of walking in the Spirit of God that will enable us to know victory over our flesh. And so I wanted to preach tonight on that subject of walking with the Lord, but I wanted to preach at it from a different angle. And I need God to help me to get us all to see the right angle tonight. So it might take a little bit of mental reasoning or a little mental concentration here at the moment. But I want you to go to Genesis chapter number 5. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. This is a very famous chapter. This is the chapter that declares the book of the generations of Adam. You find that in verse number 1. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Here we find our verse we talked about this morning. Male and female created he them, and he blessed them. He called their name Adam in the day when they were created. The Bible says in verse number 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son. How would you like to have your first child at 130? Begat a son in his own likeness. Those three words are vital after that. After his image. It goes on in chapter number 5 to declare for us the generations of Adam or man that were made in the image of Adam. Man as a creation, I understand, was made in the image of God. But all men and women that are born were born in the image of Adam, which means we bear his sinful image. We all are sinners. We carry the sin nature. God told Adam and Eve in the garden that in the day that ye shall eat of this fruit, ye shall surely, what class? Die. They did not die physically in that moment. They died spiritually in that moment. Yet, physical death then became the reality of their life. And so when you begin to pick up in verse number 5, you read, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Verse number 8, and he died. Verse number 11, and he died. 14, and he died. 17, and he died. 20, and he died. You go to 27, and he died. Come to 31, and he died. Because mankind bears the image of Adam through the fallen nature, death is the wage of our sin. Now, praise God, God sent a second Adam, and that his name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says about him that as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And I do praise God for that, and I do say amen that we have life in Christ. In the middle of this, or toward the end of this chapter, where the death bell tolls on every other verse, there's a tremendous ray of hope and a glimmer of light, and that's found in verse number 21. The Bible says, and Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And then there's a description of Enoch's life. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. That's the impact becoming a father should have on us. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God took him where, Pastor? God took him to be with him. In the midst of the tolling of the death bell of Genesis chapter 5, there's a wonderful demonstration here of life. There's a wonderful demonstration, really, of the rapture of the church, of the translation of this man, Enoch. And Enoch was a man that the Bible says walked with God. He had a very unique and wonderful relationship with the Lord. Obviously, one day in his walking with the Lord, God just took him. Go, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see what the Bible says about Enoch here. Verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. You know, you read over that part very quickly, but I'm going to come back to that in a moment. He was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he did what, class? Please God. I've heard a lot of messages preached about Enoch, and I've heard a lot of messages preached on how Enoch walked with God, and those messages are fantastic and great. And I've heard a lot of messages preached on Enoch's part of this relationship, but I got to thinking that, you know, God's not that bad either. Enoch, yes, spiritually walked after the Lord. And that word walked carries with it the thought of intimacy. It carries with it the thought of a living truth. And there is a spiritual direction here with Enoch. But there's also another side to the coin. And even though Enoch was spiritual in his approach to the Lord, and there was a deity process there, I just believe that God was a great friend to Enoch. You know, spiritual people don't always spend the amount of time with God that they should. Are you saved here? Say amen. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Are there times when you're tired and you don't want to spend time with the Lord? Sometimes. Are there times that you might not be as faithful to walk with the Lord? We all go through that, some on different levels. But it's interesting, and I say this about myself sometimes, and I'm not trying to be heavy, I'm just trying to be truthful. I go fishing. I like to fish. If I want rest and to get away from my problems, I go out and I go fishing. And sometimes I go fishing with Brother Callahan. And good and bad about going fishing with Joey. The good is we catch fish. The bad is we leave at the most ungodly hour in the morning you've ever seen in your life. If you're leaving the house before Starbucks is open, it's too early. And you know, I don't necessarily get up at 4:30 in the morning to read my Bible all the time, but I get up to go fishing. I'm not the only one. Some of you get up at 4:30 to go work out. Do you read your Bible first? Do you read your Bible at all? I don't know. A lot of times I do. But sometimes the other day I was going fishing and I thought, man, I get up at 4:30 to do this, but I don't get up to do this. Have you ever been dead dog tired and not want to do something, but a friend asks you to do something? And so even though you're tired and even though you don't want to, because they're your friend, you want to be with your friend. And so the power of friendship and the joy of friendship will be such in your life that it can be a tremendous motivator even over our lazy flesh or even over the pain of our body or the busyness of our schedule. Friendships have power. And I didn't want to come tonight necessarily just to preach about Enoch and the spiritual man that he walked with God. I wanted to kind of come at it from this angle that God was worth getting out of bed for Enoch. And God must have, Enoch must have had a relationship with God that was spiritual, but it was also physical. It ministered to him, but it also blessed him in his presence. And I think that Enoch found in God a wonderful, faithful friend that he just loved to be around all the time. Matter of fact, back in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, go with me if you would, please, and look at verse number 5 again. You might have kept your hand there. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not, what's that word? Found. Now, if you're not found, they must have been looking for him. By the way, how do we know that Enoch was translated? Because the Bible says. Nobody saw him. When Elijah was translated, the Bible says he was translated, but who saw it? Elisha. You know, on a human reasoning level, I think Enoch, of course, if you look at verse number 5 of chapter 11, it says that he had this testimony. He had this testimony. He was known in the community. He was known in his relationships. It was known about his life that he pleased God. It was also known about him that he walked with God. Has anybody seen Enoch? Yeah, Enoch's out there walking with the Lord. Where's Enoch? You know, Enoch's where he's always at. He's with the Lord. What's Enoch doing today? Enoch is walking with the Lord. He's with the Lord all the time. Anybody seen Enoch? It's been about a week. Last time I saw Enoch, he was walking with the Lord. Anybody seen Enoch? It's been about a month. Last time I saw Enoch, he was walking with... He's okay. Anybody seen Enoch? It's been years. He's with the Lord. Enoch had this testimony that he walked with God. And even though the Bible doesn't tell us that anybody witnessed his translation, it was just known that God took him. I submit to you that not only was Enoch blessed spiritually, but he was blessed by the physical friendship presence of God. And my friends, Jesus Christ is a great friend. And I think Enoch found in the Lord a couple of things that I just want to talk to you tonight about friendship. I think that Enoch found in God a perfect and beautiful friendship. A friendship that was marked by honesty. You know, honest friends are hard to find. Honest people. But I want to submit to you that Jesus Christ is an honest friend. He's trustworthy. Couple of things I think that prove an honest friendship. If you want to test your friendship with somebody honestly, test it by truth, test it by love, test it by frankness. The Bible says the wounds of a friend are what kind of wounds? Faithful wounds. You know, when you meet an honest friend, You can be frank with them, and they will be frank with you. I think while Enoch walked with God, there had to be moments of frankness. I'm sure Enoch just said, God, can I be frank with you? And I think God would meet Enoch sometimes and God would say, Enoch, let me be frank with you. Let me tell you the truth. Let me wound you a little bit here. I think Enoch would come and say, now, God, I want to be frank with you. I don't necessarily know how this works out or this is going to do, but there was this ability to bear one's soul, this ability to tell the truth, this ability to trust the opinion and trust the delivery of information. You know, in honest friendships, you don't have to be hesitant. You don't have to be hiding. I think another thing that describes an honest friendship is really and truthfully the ability to be silent with one another. Have you ever had to carry a conversation with somebody that you didn't like? Have you ever thought, I got to go to lunch with these people, I know nothing about these people, and I got to carry this conversation, or I got to do this? Have you ever been on a relational level where you're not really the best of the friends, and you've talked about everything possible to talk about, and you still got to eat dessert together? And the silence is just piercing. I mean, it makes your skin crawl and you don't know what to say and so on and so forth. It's one way to tell whether you're a friend to somebody or an acquaintance to somebody. It's kind of how you deal with the silent moments of your life. Enoch's relationship with God, that friendship was so intimate that it went beyond words. The Bible doesn't say he talked with God. It said he walked with God. You know, sometimes being in a friendship with God and going to him and knowing that he's honest there, it enables me to be frank with him. It enables him to be frank with me. And there are sometimes I go to God and I don't really have any words. It's just a silent time with him, a meditation time, a time of song. It's a time where I'm just in his presence. Sometimes I come into this building, which I use as my prayer closet, and I just kind of walk with the Lord. Every once in a while, I'll just say, thank you, Lord, for this, and walk around. I don't have to necessarily carry that conversation, but when I open up my heart, even though there's been a moment of silence or two there, it's just like we pick right up where we started from. I want to submit to you that God is an honest friend. Enoch knew that. He walked with the Lord. Are you trying to win friends? Are you trying to impress people? Are you trying to make somebody like you? Are you trying to make somebody be your friend? Are you trying to be something you're not to gain somebody's friendship? Listen, there's nothing more miserable in a relationship than trying to pretend to be something you're not to keep that relationship. Boy, I've seen marriages just blow up because two people pretended to be something they weren't, got married, and if marriage will do anything, it will expose for who you are. And it just blew right up. I'm glad with the Lord that he's an honest friend to me. He's frank with me. He tells me the truth. He loves me. He wounds me when he needs to wound me. But I can be frank with him. I can pour out my heart to him. Have you ever had a frank conversation with the Lord? Boy, I've had some frank conversations with the Lord. They go something like this. I don't want to do what you want me to do. I don't like what you're asking me to do. I'm not happy about this. God, why did you do that to me? How could you do that to me? What were you thinking? Why didn't this work out? God, we had this. This was how it was supposed to go. Some frank and honest conversation. There's nothing wrong with having a frank conversation with God. There is something wrong with not being respectful and submissive to the Lord. You know, I think sometimes we are afraid to put into words what's in our heart or in our mind. And the human mind will think things about God that it would never voice about God. But I got news for you. God reads our thoughts. And sometimes you need to just understand that God's a good friend. He can handle your frankness. And don't let it all well up and become bitter inside your guts. I have found that if I'm not frank with God in the way that I think or see certain things, and I don't kind of pray it out or talk it out about him, that old devil comes and he just grabs those thoughts and he begins to twist those things about the Lord. And pretty soon I begin to move into a position that's not right between the Lord. The best thing for me to do is just lift my voice and say, God, I need your help. God, I see it this way. I don't want to be wrong. I want to see it like you. I submit to you, but God, you got to help me here. God, I didn't have that planned at all. And there's a frankness. I think that every day Enoch was able to walk with the Lord, and there was a drawing because God was frank with him and he was frank with him, and there was this time together and a faithful friend. One of the great privileges of friendship is honesty. Number two, if you want to write them down. Another great privilege of friendship is understanding. Understanding. You may have a physical friend, a best friend, and they understand you. It would go something like this. I met a beautiful girl. I'm thinking about asking her out. She thrills me. And your friend would say, I wouldn't do that. She's not your type. What do you mean? She's breathing. I'm thinking about taking this job. I wouldn't take that job. What do you mean not take that job? They're paying. Look at what they're paying. I know, but that job doesn't fit you. It's not for you. You know, you can have a relationship on a human level where somebody almost knows you a little bit better than you know yourself in moments. And you get all excited by the paycheck. You're all excited. Man, I don't think you should take that because you don't like to do that. And they're going to have to do that. And you're going to do this. I wouldn't date her. She's not your type. You should date this one over here. And they just understand who you are. And so when you fly off in the mouth, they know, I understand. You get all upset about this. I know we can't talk about this. I know how you feel about this. I understand that you might take this way. So let me help you. And a mark of a good friendship is they have an understanding heart and they understand you. I got news for you. No one understands you like Jesus. He's understanding. So when Jesus says, I don't think you should take that job, don't take it. When Jesus says, I don't think that's the right spouse for you, don't do it. I think Enoch would walk with God and he would say, now God, I'm thinking about doing this. And God would say, I don't know, Enoch. I know you. I created you. I'm not sure you could handle that, survive that. I'm not sure that thing's going to work out for you. God, let me ask you about this. Well, Enoch, I don't know. This is how you're made here. And there's an understanding part of that. You know that God knows you better than you know yourself? He's a good friend. He understands when we mess up. You know, a good friend will understand when you mess up. A good friend will take a verbal beating or take some kind of verbal accusation. And when you come back to them and you ask forgiveness, they're going to say something like, you know, it's okay. I understand. You're forgiven. I love you. Now, praise God, God never gives us a verbal beating or God never mistreats us. But when we go to him after mistreating him, he's always understanding. He's always forgiving. He's all of this. You know, it's amazing how people are searching for human relationships that understand them. That's really the drive for social media. They're trolling the internet, trying to find anybody or anything that will understand them. I got news for you. There's one that understands you tremendously, and he is the living Lord. Number three on a great friendship. And Enoch must have found all these things in the Lord. With a great friendship, there has to be mutual interest. Mutual interest. And I want to come at it from this aspect here. Yeah, we talk about being interested in the things of God and in righteousness and holiness, and that we should. But it's a mutual interest. It's a mutual deal. For example, you might like a certain restaurant or type of food, and so one day with your friend you go here, the next day they go there. There's this mutual recognition of how we're going to relate to one another. I got news for you. God has a sincere interest in you. There's a mutual interest. We just think that there's this responsibility for us to always be interested in God. But no friendship ever survives one-sidedness. Help me with a verse. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? So there's an interest in that. I don't know if you know this or not, but God is interested in your job. He's interested in your plans. He's interested in what you're going to do tomorrow. He's interested in how you relate to things. He's interested in your goals, your dreams. He's interested in every area of your life. And I think every day Enoch would get out and he would walk with God. And the thrill of that was, man, God's interested in me. There had to be something about God that drew Enoch in a friendship. And Enoch would walk with the Lord. And Enoch would spread, it was interested in God. And God was interested in him. Let me say this. Never, ever sacrifice the holiness and obedience to God's word for a mutual interest friendship. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I have seen people want companionship or want interest, or want some kind of relation so bad that they will actually sell out the holiness of God. Don't do that. You'll regret that. There's a mutual interest. A fourth thing about friendship that I think Enoch found here is an evidence of that. There is a devotion. There's a love. A friend loveth at all times. A true friend is devoted to the other. A true friend is able to, as in 1 Corinthians 13, love in a way that is not in a selfish way, but in a settled or in a sacrificial way. I think that God was devoted to Enoch. God loved Enoch. And because God was devoted to Enoch and loved Enoch, that relationship developed in a wonderful and marvelous and tremendous way. So there was it wasn't just that he was devoted to God, but God was devoted to him. And by the way, God's devoted to you. If you believe that, say amen. He loves you. He loves you. It's not where there's going to be a separation. He's devoted to you as a friend. He's devoted to you by the word of God. He's devoted to you in the arenas of life. Nothing separates me from the love of God. True devotion is a great quality in friendship. True love is a tremendous testimony. It's a tremendous delight. It's amazing how that most people don't understand how devoted God is to you. By the way, aren't you glad that God's devoted? Because we've probably offended him enough. If he wanted to leave, he could. Lastly, not only is a friendship honest, not only is it understanding, not only is there mutual interest in that, not only is there a devotion, but there's also a development. There's a growth. There's a betterness. Help me with this verse. Iron sharpeneth iron. So the countenance of a man sharpeneth his friends. You know, when you have a true friendship, Both parties are bettered. And there is in some way where as I relate to God, that the work of God and serve the Lord, there's a betterment there. There's a reaching out in the cause of Christ. But also as God relates to me, he betters me. He sharpens me. He makes me want to be holy. He makes me want to walk in righteousness. He makes me want to be a good father, a good husband, a good pastor, a good Christian. There's this way that he just enlightens my life, and there's a betterment process that takes place. What are you trying to tell us tonight, Pastor? I'm trying to tell you that you have a great friend in Jesus Christ. Spend some time with him. Spend some time with him. Well, Pastor, I can't walk with him physically. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Let me show you something. Come on, we're done. I'm going to get you out good and early. Malcolm, will you hand me that hymn book right there? Thank you. In Hebrews chapter 11, look if you would at verse number 5. By what? Faith. Pastor, how do I walk with the Lord? You do it by faith. How do I live in that relationship where he becomes a tremendous friend to me? By faith. So where do I begin? Well, if I'm going to do anything by faith, I'm going to do it through the Word of God. How do you walk with God? Write these couple things down. You walk with him through the Scripture. You should be reading the Scripture, and there should be the living Word of God becoming dominant in your heart and in your mind. If you're reading the Scripture and you get all the way through whatever passage you're reading and there's been no communing with God, something is wrong. This is not just, man, I got so many books up here, I need another hand. This is not just a book, it's the living Word, amen? And so how do I commune with God? How do I walk with him in a friendship? How do I get to know that relationship? I get to know him through the book. And so I'm reading about him, and he's speaking to me through the book. The Bible talks about, also through faith, there's a walking in the Spirit. That means that I'm in commune with him in my spirit through prayer, through music, through meditation, not stupid meditation where you empty your mind off, but meditation upon the Word of God. And so it's the constant thought process that I'm in him and he's in me. You don't have to come to church to be with God. God should be in your heart. And the relationship that develops as the psalmist said, just a closer walk with him. So I'm learning to walk with him in the Word as I discover him. I'm learning to walk with him in the quietness of the fullness of the Spirit of God. I learn to walk with him through the prayer as I'm on my knees and lifting my petition. I learn to walk with him as I'm singing the songs. And I'm learning the whole time what kind of friend he is to me. He's an honest friend. He's one that understands me. He's one that's devoted to me. He's one that has interest in me. He's one that's bettering me. And so as I walk and I wake up in the day, I cannot wait to be with my friend. Do you like your job? Not one person that worked for Plantation Baptist Church said amen to that. Shame. It's not a job. Amen. It's a ministry. So, you get out of bed in the morning, and we kind of got all these things to look forward to. And there is a motivation that makes me go forward. You want to change your life. Learn how to walk with your very best friend and let him be your motivation. From the time you get out of that bed, you know you got an honest friend that loves you, that's interested in you, devoted to you, and that's growing and developing you. And let that relationship become a reality. I hope you know what it is to have a moment-by-moment relationship with the Lord where at any moment you call out. At any moment there's a prayer. At any moment he's in your thought. Every recognition. I mean, you almost get killed at the stoplight. Thank you, God, for mercy. I find a good sale. Thank you, God, for a good sale. Thank you, God. Beverly didn't spend any money. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, we need a parking spot. Thank you, God, for a park. Lord, I'm tired, man. I don't want to do this. God, give me strength. Thank you, God, for giving me strength. Lord, no one understands what I'm going through right now, and I don't have anybody to talk to, so I'm going to pour my heart out to you. Begin to develop that friendship. Pastor, I'll look weird talking to myself. If you talk to yourself, you're not saved. I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to the Lord Jesus that lives in my heart. Does he live in yours? Right. So the songwriter said it this way. What was my page, Brother Gary? 609. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. Verse 2 says, no friend like him is so high and holy, and yet no friend is so meek and lowly. There's not an hour that he is not near us, no night so dark, but his love can cheer us. Did ever saint find this friend forsake him? Or sinner find that he would not take him? Was e'er a gift like the Savior given? Will he refuse us a home in heaven? Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Every day, I think Enoch got up saying, I'm going to be with my friend. Anybody seen Enoch? He's with the Lord. Anybody seen Enoch? He's with the Lord. Has anybody seen you? We should be with the Lord.